It's April 11 at the time of recording. USA men are up 2-1 against Canada. USA women just fell to PNG in their historic first ever ODI. We've got Uzma Iftikhar joining us for the second half of the show. But when USA men and women's teams are in the midst of a series like both of them are right now, we fall into fan mode pretty hard.
You fall into fan mode about Uzma, and then when you have cricket, that's what we've been screaming for. And we've been talking about it for so long. Let's get some cricket going. It's good to be talking about cricket, not just the prospect of playing cricket today. And again, to have both men and women in the kind of historic series, in the sense of the men with that first team look at the team going into that 2024 World Cup, and for the women, the first ODI mirroring the men's side playing PNG, is pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm real excited. I know you've got a lot on your plate lately, wrapping up college. How much more time do you have?
Last day of classes is, what, the end of April? So that's April 30th. So about 3 weeks left, and then probably about one final that's in person, and then calling it wraps at UNC.
Man, that's crazy. Have you gotten to play any cricket yet this year, or has that been...
No, I played an HT game, hard tennis ball game. Came into bat at the... I was only there because they only had 9 players. So I came into bat at the end. Fielded for about 15 overs, bowled one over, called it a day.
I love HT because it wraps up pretty quick. So that's the good thing about it. Have you been able to follow the games very closely?
Yeah, for the men's side, at least we got a live stream. I was happy about that. Good to see Nikhil Thumsandani on call. We had Brian Walters that was there for a little bit. Even Lenny at Jaibar. It was good to have him there too. Good cast out there. And you know, I thought the men actually were pretty impressive. You know, I think we all were worried about what's this team going to look like and how are they going to perform against a Canada team that's surging and is playing really well. That Canada team without two of their premier pacers. So I take these wins with a grain of salt. But in the sense of the men's team, in the sense of how we performed, I thought Harmeet Singh, incredibly impressive. I thought Nash Dushgenjigay, incredibly impressive, especially in game one, 3 wickets, kind of game-changing inning. Saurabh was Saurabh, which was awesome. Shadley Venskalkvik, you know, he's never going to blow you away in terms of, you know, just looking at him, but he always comes up with a couple critical plays. He did it once again in this series. I thought with the bat, interesting for me that Monunk opened the batting over Andres Kraus, but Monunk played well. To his credit, he was going at it, was aggressive. I still think Andres Kraus would be my opener just because I think he's a touch more aggressive, and I think it allows Stephen Taylor to get into flow and Monunk work at the one down spot, but 1, 2, and 3, I think, are pretty set, and they played pretty good cricket. So I was happy on that front that we had really good individual performances from a lot of individuals.
Yeah, I thought that was a curious decision, too. It's paid off in spades. It's paid off so well, but it had me confused at first. I'm not really sure what the thinking was there. Maybe they were anticipating seeing a lot of off-spin. You had to anticipate seeing a lot of off-break bowling against Stephen Taylor, and maybe they just felt more comfortable with saving Andres for Saad, then maybe giving Monunk to Saad over and over and over again, but it's paid off great. And also, you know, Monunk's done well with the ball turning away. He's done a little bit better with that. But yeah, it's been tough to follow. There's so much going on right now, and we got a lot going on my job. Everybody's returning to work this week, so I spent the last few weeks preparing for that, and then they came in. So I was able to watch a little bit live, but I definitely went back and watched the whole thing on Tuesday on YouTube. I'm so glad it's up there on YouTube so that we can do that. That's excellent. So I'm very appreciative of that. It's fun to watch the games. There's not a lot of people in that are present, which we expected that, but it's cool to see the people there and knowing half of them.
and PJ Goodalls was there too, all decked out, classic cardboard cutout sign. You know, we didn't expect there to be a huge crowd for this, but you could see there were a couple of volunteers, like youth volunteers, which was cool. They got to meet Monunk Patel. That's a great initiative. I think anytime you get the young guys out there to see the national team is great. So, yeah, there's some good things that happen. And, again, as someone who was very skeptical about what this USTA team would be able to achieve with such a little preparation and practice, to get a 2-1 lead early on Canada, again, a team that's, like, steamrolling at the moment, again, be it without two of their premier pacers, I still think seeing this type of performance, this type of almost domination is truly impressive.
We talked last time about which Canada is going to show up. What combination are they going to use with this current group that they have with them? And we saw in the first game, we saw just about the same team that we saw in the very last game against the Mustangs in the prep series. But I thought, I was totally impressed with how USA handled it. That particular team beat the Mustangs by, I think, 8 wickets. And then USA really, honestly, they probably should have won by even more. It felt like in that game, the very first game on Sunday, they got off to a great start with the ball. And as you mentioned, Tenjige was just fantastic. Taking out two key wickets early. Obviously, Sohrab trading kind of an expensive over for Aaron Johnson early on, which, you know, you'll take it. Recently, as Aaron Johnson has gone in T20, so is the Canadian team.
Yeah, you know, I think what we saw with the ball was a lot of depth too, right? I think Nosh obviously doing his thing. Those were the expected. It was, you know, what is Shadley Van Skulpvik going to look like? He's got 4 wickets in 2 matches, going at a little over 8, which, you know, maybe a touch expensive, but so take it. For your third pacer, he's a wicket taker, right? Harmeet Singh in his 2 matches, an economy of 6.2, 2 wickets to his name as well. Jesse Singh's got 2 wickets in hand. I thought he's been, you know, a touch here or there. We know he's the Ali Khan type of guy. You're willing to give up a little bit more runs to get someone with that kind of pace involved. What the key for me is now going to be your top three for USA is carry, right? You have Mona Patel, 118 runs through 2 matches, Andres Kels with 107 through 2 matches, and Stephen Taylor with 76 runs between 2 matches. In 1 match, I think he didn't really score in one of the matches, so he did most of his big hitting in the second game. I think that's where the biggest concern lies is, okay, great, we know these top three can play. It's the rest of this order, right? Then following that, Aaron Jones only has 37 runs because he's only had to have 37 runs. But can, if Andres and Mona go quickly, can the rest of that order pick up the slack, right? I think that's the questions that oftentimes is the difference between winning games and losing games in World Cup matches. I think talk about India for the longest time, right? For a long time, they were their top three, Shikhar Dhawan, Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma. That trio didn't win a World Cup because there's nothing in the middle when those three got it. At some point, those three aren't going to fire, and they got out, right? Do you have the batting to support that? So I'm curious to see, as this series and as the Bangladesh series picks up, Aaron Jones get more looks. You know, Shadley Van Skulpvik, Milind Kumar, Gajanand Singh, those guys continue to get reps. Harmeet Singh get reps with the bat in hand and have them have to step up and bring something along.
Yeah, you mentioned Shadley. Now, in that very first game, he was the most economic bowler. He was terrific that first game, 4.75 economy with 2 wickets. Went a little expensive in the second game, but so did everybody else. You know, they did get tonked a little bit, but you know that you're going to get tonked when your opponent's trying to chase 230, which was a USA T20 international record. And the wicket looked like it was there for runs. I want to see what would happen if Canada bats first, puts up a big total. What are we going to do? If the bowling fails, how are we going to come back? Are we going to still get the same? Like you said, if that top three fail, if you only have one of the top three succeed or even none of them, what are we going to do from there? I felt like it was a little bit harsh after the first game. Gajanand Singh saw one ball, and it was the final ball of the chase where he nudged it to the fine leg, basically, for a single, which was called the end of the innings. Of course, USA, it turned out, if you look through the scorecard, they were probably a run or so short. But they did win the game. They had no problem winning that game. But yeah, to see him face one ball for one run, not out, and then replace the next game, I thought that was a little bit harsh. But it is a warm-up series. You know, these are T20 internationals, but these are also warm-ups to the World Cup. You want to see what you've got in the team. I thought it was a little bit strange, though, to replace him with Nisarg Patel. You've replaced a batter with an all-rounder there. For USA, he's been a bowling all-rounder, is what he's been. Nisarg has been. And then this is an innings where they needed to score. This was a game they needed to score big, USA did, in that second game, because there were runs to be had in that second game. They ended up scoring 230 for 3 wickets. And another interesting thing about that second game, right at the end, first of all, Aaron Jones came in. We talked last week and the week before. I said I felt like Aaron Jones was the player in the team that had the most to lose by not playing T20I for 2 years because he has a reputation for going slow. And we've seen him here at Church Street Park over the last couple years. I don't think he looked like he was going too slow in T20 cricket. So he didn't have the chance to express that on the international stage for 2 whole years, and his reputation followed him. So I felt like that hurt him. We saw in the second game, he scored 34 from 20. Now, he scored 34 from 20 with 12 runs off the last 2 balls, which was great. But from the start, yes, he didn't connect right away. Yes, he did ease in. But if you saw the intent that was there from the very first couple of balls, his feet were moving. He was hitting the ball hard. He was trying to hit the ball hard. And, you know, a couple cut shots early that didn't get through the circle. They didn't get through the circle because of lack of effort or because of a lack of intent. They just sometimes that happens.
And that's the key for me with Aaron Jones. I think it's less about, okay, does he get bogged down? It's more about, is he just sitting there looking to defend the ball away? Because that's the Aaron Jones that you're worried about. You're not worried about the Aaron Jones that's rocking onto the back foot, cutting, trying to cut it behind point and hitting it to the fielder. That's fine. You can work with that. Anybody can hit it to the fielder and you can live with that. But what you can't live with is, all right, I'm just going to go defend this one off. I'm going to defend the next one off. Before you know it, five balls are up. I haven't gotten a run. Oh, let me get a single. Okay, let's do the same thing again. That's what you're worried about. But
yeah,
the Aaron Jones we saw, yeah, was he fluid like Andres early? No, he wasn't. But did he find rhythm? Did he look to score? Did he keep trekking? Yes. And T20 cricket, you can afford a batter like that. I think that those batters are key. The batters that, okay, they're not going to be explosive right away, but they can keep themselves in the game. They can keep the scoreboard going. And when they need to go, they somehow find a way to connect on everything. And that's what Aaron Jones did in that second game, where at the end, where they needed that final push, he's found a way to connect on a lot more deliveries than you thought he would. You mentioned the last two that he hit for 12 runs. That's what Aaron Jones can be. And like you said, this was honest. Out of everybody in this squad, he was the guy that you had to worry about in terms of, will he be on the roster? This is the vice captain that was named. He's the guy that, will he be in the 11th? This is a make it or break it kind of series for him. And, you know, it's good to see him put his hand up and perform.
Absolutely. And another interesting thing, Shadley Benchkopic coming in four down for USA, coming in at the number six position there. That was interesting when you have Milind Kumar, you have Nisarg Patel, well, on the bench there, and you have Harmeet Singh. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Because really, you that Sadbin Safar has overs in hand as the game ends. He bowled three overs on the day. So you want to go, you want to maximize your runs, and Sad's their best bowler. So it's great to, towards the end, have a lefty to come in that situation. Shadley was the guy that they chose. And you have to wonder, if Gajanan Singh is in the team on this day, does he come in there? I don't think you pinch Shadley over top of Gajanan Singh, but Shadley, right from the very first ball, I think he hit a four with his very first ball, ended with 13 from five, 260 strike rate, 1.416. We love to see that. Shadley, for me, he always plays the right way. He always plays according to the situation. If you need someone to be there, he's going to try to be there. If you need someone to score quick, he's going to try to score quick. He's never going to fail because of intent. And so we saw good bowling from him in the death in the first couple of games. Of course, he went expensive in the second game, but that's expected. Another thing I really liked was seeing Stephen Taylor in the second game. The first game, we know they're going to bowl off-break bowling to Stephen Taylor. And I think he was one off of his first five or something against off-break bowling. You know, in the second game, hit off the first, I think, nine balls, he had 30 runs off of off-break bowling, off of right-arm off-break bowling. I love seeing that. I love seeing him fix that, because that's supposed to be the antidote for a Stephen Taylor. And he made it not the, you know, he made them pay for that. And you know, that's what you really want from the top of your order. You want somebody that's hard to match up.
Especially being a left-hander, if you can create problems early, you're going to find your team having a lot of success. I think when the plan of the off-spin or the plan of, you know, the lefty or the righty bowler or whatever, that when that plan doesn't work, it's now, oh, crap, panic mode. And now bowlers have to readjust. And, you know, you get a little bit over-aggressive to the left-hander or the right-hander trying to get the other one out because you can't get... You know, it makes bowlers think. And the more you make a bowler think, the more they're going to miss.
Yeah.
Bowlers, you know, you think, obviously, but you get into a rhythm. And when you can just let the ball go, that's when you're bowling your best. Any bowler will tell you that at any level. I'll tell you that at the club level. When there's three dot balls, you don't want to see me. When you've played three dot balls, you don't want to see me, because now I can just let the ball go and feel okay about it. But if you've scored a couple of boundaries on me, you probably want to see me next ball, because now I'm overthinking. And that's what a good left-handed opener can do, is that the off-spinner didn't work. Now me, as the opening, you know, pace bowler, I'm supposed to take early wickets. I got to be over-adventurous. Now I give a couple half volleys to one in Patel who can drive me through the covers, and boom, you're off to the race. So this is the beauty of Steven Taylor. For this team to be successful, Steven Taylor's got to be good. And we've mentioned a lot of things that we like, Nate. One thing I didn't love was you mentioned Nisarg Patel coming back into the team for that second game. He's a bowling all-rounder. He only bowled two overs. Yeah, I think that he's got – if you're going to play Nisarg Patel, he's got to play – he's got to bowl overs. I think he's got to get to three or four overs. I guess Steven Taylor had one and Harvey didn't finish off and a lot of players didn't finish off. But I for Nisarg to get one game so far – you have to see him as a bowl. You have to see what he can do with the ball, right? Your decision has to be Gajanan Singh with the bat. It's what they've made it is Gajanan Singh with the bat, or do we value Nisarg Patel with the ball who can give us a little bit with the bat? And so to make, for me, to really gauge that decision, I would have to see the max amount of overs out of Nisarg Patel. I would have to see what he looks like consistently. And if he takes a bunch of big wickets, all right, cool, I can live with that decision. I think I would rather have Gajanan Singh in the team, but if that's the call you're making because you feel like you have the batting around, you want an extra bowling option, then let him bowl. I don't need to see four overs from Jesse Singh. I love Jesse Singh, but I don't need to see four overs from him because Ali Khan's going to walk in that spot. But if I can get four overs from Nisarg Patel, now I can decide how do I fit now, which guy do I go with, if that's the decision you're making. I think that going forward, Nisarg needs to get a little bit more with the ball. Or if Gajanan's in, I think he could probably come in at four or one. You don't have to go with the same ordered 11. Give him an opportunity to express himself.
Yeah, look, if you look at the stats that game, and you look at when Harmeet bowled, when Nosh bowled, obviously Nosh started, he bowled in the power play. And he's been the best bowler of the series, as Nosh has been. Harmeet's been right up there with him. He took two wickets in the game, could have easily had three. Dropped his own, the ball hit right back up to him through his hands and went all the way for four. It hit his hands pretty hard. That ball was smoked, and it still went all the way to four before a fielder could get to it. Yeah, I don't know. Are you going to go 12 overs of left arm orthodox spin? Honestly, it's USA. I wouldn't mind seeing that. That's where our strength is. But you're not going to take Harmeet out where they put him in. They put him in situations where they needed to slow down Canada's right, because Canada had the right intent the whole time. You know, they just ran out of wickets just about. Of course, you know, by the end, it was hard. But another cool thing before we get to talking about the women's team. Saurabh, you mentioned earlier, after a couple of dot balls, you don't want to see you. After a couple of boundaries, you want to see you. Saurabh has taken two wickets in this series so far off after getting pummeled in the same over.
Yeah.
And come back and taking the wickets.
He's a unicorn, man.
Yeah, this is something special. I think this is something that we love about Saurabh is... he doesn't get smashed around very much. When he does, you know, you're trading 17 runs in one of those overs for, you had 17 runs from Aaron Johnson off him in the first over. And then Wijerani got out LBW on the sixth ball of the over when he finally came to the crease. Yeah, I'd like to see this bounce back from Saurabh, which we've come to expect. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the third game. I can't wait to see it because, like we've said before, we need to see more situations from this team. I don't know how much you change the team up at this point. Who do you put in? Who do you put out? We were supposed to see Corey Anderson in game three, but that got washed out because of a wet outfield. And Peter went and played golf that day instead. So
he got a 101, so good for Peter.
Yeah, so Corey, I'm looking forward to seeing Corey in. I want to see 100%. Millie Kumar get some more time in the middle to see what they've got there.
I agree with that.
He's played well in the field. We both know he's got a good arm in the field. He expressed that a couple of times already. He just a flick of his wrist. But I want to see Corey in the middle.
Yeah, and I would say that more, I think it's Corey or Gajanan Singh. And then the matchup for me would be Nisarg and Milind Kumar. Because I think they can, I think Nisarg is probably a better bowler, but Milind gives you an over or two. And I think he provides more with the bat. So I think if you're looking for head to heads on who I would take over, who I think those would be the things I'm looking at. I'm looking at Gajanan versus Corey because I think they bat in a similar spot. And I'm looking at Milind and Nisarg because I think they can bat in a similar spot, and I think Nisarg is better with the ball. I think he's a better matchup guy. You have a Steven Taylor, but I think a Milind Kumar can be an option with the ball in hand. And then obviously we haven't talked about the man from Canada, the guy who used to captain Canada, right? He could be someone that you look at as well.
And Shea is in the reserve still. I like Shea at that spot. I really like Jahangir at that spot.
To me, before all this whole selection thing, Jahangir was my number seven. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, in the second game, you had seven USA bowlers take a wicket. That's great. I don't know if we need seven bowlers in the squad, you know, seven guys bowling in this squad. I think we have good enough bowlers to not have to need this, to be honest. So,
especially you have a legit batter. I would take a
legit
guy
batter
that I can depend on to score, not a guy that can go in and bat, a guy that I know will score. And Jahangir, Steven, Andres, those are guys that I know will go in and score. Aaron Jones is starting to show that those are guys that I can trust to score, and I would continue to put those guys on the side.
And just as you're letting Aaron have the chance to keep his place in the team right now, in spite of a reputation that he may or may not deserve, I think it's a little harsh of a reputation. You know, you can make a good argument for it. Just as you do that, I think that you should do the same with Shea. I think Shea's spot on the team should be a little bit more firm than it's been, especially how well he's done in Major League Cricket last year. But yeah, Uzma is waiting to join us, so let's welcome her.
Let's do it.
Uzma Iftikhar, first of all, Eid Mubarak to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You've been with USA from 2017 through 2023 as a flayer. You've had a great bowling record with the team. Welcome to the show, first of all. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
We've talked a little bit about the women's series. We just got done wrapping up the men's series here. Now, you've been working with Aspire for a while, which is a group that you're trying to spread the game of cricket, especially there in California. We talked to Sindhu a little bit in the fall, but how's it been going since then?
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up. Aspire Cricket, you know, but child of myself, Sindhu, Pricey, and Ani. And, you know, our main goal is basically to grow the sport from grassroots up, get into the schools, get into the community centers. So we've had I think March 23rd was our first year anniversary, you know, 1 year we've been working with Aspire. It's gone so far. We have some bigger goals this year. Hopefully once, you know, people stop playing cricket with Sindhu involved with cricket, you know, so much, it's hard to plan some of those events. But we do have some things coming in the near future, obviously in the summertime, to get to some community centers and possibly a collaboration with a big team over here. So look out for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's an exclusive.
Exactly.
So how long have you been in California?
I moved here 2015, January. Primarily for work. I moved here from Canada. I thought my cricket was done in Canada, but I moved over here and I found out there's the group of girls that play here, and you know, the weather helps as well. Just started back up since then, and yeah, I've been living here since then.
I saw a post on your Instagram. I don't think it was that recent, but you were saying, oh, you know, you missed Canada and how beautiful it was. Which part were you in?
I was in Toronto, Canada.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know a lot of the Canadian girls practiced with them. I was affiliated with Cricket Canada back then as well. So it was nice to play them now against them.
My grandmother lived in Canada for most of my life, right up until she passed away. She lived in Ontario, in Brockville, Ontario. It's just so beautiful up there. I love going up right on the Thousand Islands.
Oh, yeah. That's the spot to be in Toronto, at least around the Toronto area, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So recently you were at a women's professional soccer league game. And the place was packed.
Yeah.
Women's soccer has been popular for a long time, but I think it's really cool how just over the last couple of years, it's blown up even more. And a lot of people draw lines to that, from that to cricket in general, from women's soccer to cricket in general, not just women's cricket. I don't think that something like that's so outrageous to imagine when you see the last 20 years, especially just the last three or four.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, last year was the first time that I went to a women's soccer game down in San Diego Way. We were doing an Aspire event. Pricey was there when I heard Bay FC was having their inaugural game here. And Bay Area is a huge supporter of sport in general. Women's sport is a big deal as well. And playing at the stadium that they were, it was a no-brainer. I had to go check it out. And yeah, it was just amazing. The introductions, they had some of the biggest players over there, you know, the former legends from the USA team. So it was great to see that what I went along with Erica Rendler, a former USA player. Yeah, good fun. We like to stay in sport, you know, soccer is one way, but hopefully cricket could get there one day.
There's a UNC women's soccer player just got drafted by Bay FC. It was number 2 overall. I got a chance to interview her a couple of times, so that was pretty cool. Savvy King, she didn't get to play, but women's soccer is definitely blowing up, especially with WSL and what the draft and stuff has done.
Yeah.
So important for the women's game to get the spotlight it deserves, because just for the overall growth of the game in general. You're talking about 50% of the people on Earth are women. You should try to bring them into your fandom. And I think that women's soccer's done such a great job of doing that, of not just capturing sports fans, but making new sports fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of my coworkers as well, who are big Warriors fans, A's, Giants, and now they're, what is a new sport we can get into? And, you know, soccer is not a big American sport right yet, but I think if the women are going to lead it, you might as well let them, you know, get the folks interested.
And the women's game in the USA has taken a lot of, we've praised it here before. One of the things I think USA Cricket's done really well over the last few years is the system that they have now for the nationals, the zonals and all this stuff, how it feeds in, how every round it's a redraft. Basically, you get the best girls in there, and that helps build it up without watering down. It actually gets stiffer and stiffer as the nationals championships has gone on. And that's produced great results for us. We've got a youth movement right now where the team is almost all very young players, obviously Sindhu, with the exception of Sindhu. But what has that been like, that transition been like? I know you've been involved in that. Do you support that? Because I know that's taken some chances away from the veterans.
Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly support that. I think, you know, to develop the next generation, that's the only way we're going to get better. There is a lot of cricket for senior players. I would say, at least in California, there is. And, you know, there's domestic tournaments. You have the Houston Open, Labor Day tournaments. So there is a lot of cricket available. But I think what USA Cricket has done with the pathway, it really does allow for a new person coming into cricket to see that path. And many of the girls, you know, I don't, you know, promote that, hey, you should be wanting to play for USA, because I don't think everyone should be playing. If, you know, people should just be playing the sport for what it is. It's a nice goal to have. Yeah, no, I love it. I'm glad we have a lot of new players, just like you said. You know, one of the players that debuted yesterday, Sanvi Imadi, she was one of the first players on my first interregional team. It's nice to see that she gets to play in the seniors team now, and yeah, she's doing well for herself.
Yeah, you know, you woke up in the middle of the night. We all tried to wake up in the middle of the night to go see this match. Obviously, historic playing PNG. Before we jump into that, what was it like to know that, you know, we're making our ODI debut here against PNG USL as someone who has been a part of this journey from the very beginning?
Yeah, no, very excited. I think, you know, Sindhu and I had a few talks about that as well. It's a huge landmark, you know, for the women's USA team. And for us to get the opportunity finally to be able to be playing ODIs. So yeah, very excited. And I just hope, you know, these games just increase. We just get more and more games. Yeah.
And it looked like we were going to start to get off to a flyer. This show batted so well. She's been doing it for so long in the regionals and the nationals. So I was happy for her to get that 50. You know, before we talk about what happened after that, what have you seen from Disha, where she started to where she is now, and what makes her like such an explosive bat and able to score 50 on debut?
Yeah, you know, Disha is one of those players that I had my eyes on for a while. And actually, just at our selections camp, she played this inside out shot. And I was like, Disha, my favorite shot of the weekend, hands down. So I think she is able to express herself. We know that she comes up the order, solid bat. We've seen her a lot in T20s. So I think changing her game over to ODIs, I didn't think it would be an issue for her. And, you know, for her to get the 50 on debut, we know what she can do. I'm a little bummed that we didn't get to see the inning, but, you know, I'm sure it was good.
That's such a bummer to me, because one of the great things that's gone along with the pathway stuff in the USA is we've been able to watch the nationals. We've been able to watch these on YouTube or, you know, wherever. And it's, wow, we shouldn't be doing better than the ICC is at this. You know, this is happening in Dubai. We should be able to see this historic game. Get four cameras out there. Get a fly Amin and I out there, and we'll do the commentary. Something. Get Lenny out there. Get somebody out there to do the commentary, and it deserves it. It really deserves this. And that's the big bummer to me, because we want to watch this. We want to see, like you said, the pathway is great because the new players who come into the game can see a pathway to the national team. And as you said, that shouldn't be your only reason for playing cricket. You're not going to, you know, that's a bad idea. You should play cricket because you love cricket. But when you love cricket and you realize that you're good at something or that you want to be a part of something, it's nice to be a part of that pathway anywhere along the way. It's great to be a part of it. And then when you get, you do form a team, you form a national team and you send them overseas. Those girls that saw the pathway to the national team can't watch the national team now. And that's a really big, to me, that's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I hope, I know for the, you know, the qualifiers will have the same. And think for any series that we have, everything should be streamed best minimum that we could expect, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
For sure. And again, not being able to see it, it's hard to break down what happened after the first 95, right? For the next 70 runs, you lose 8 wickets. But how much of an experience do you think, a learning experience, you know, everyone's making a debut and then most of these individuals probably under 20 years old. How big of a learning experience is this? Hey, you had a great start, but ODI cricket comes at you fast and you could be going real good 1 second and the next you're not. How important is that for these, you know, young women to learn and take into that next matchup that they have?
Yeah, I think, you know, being that this was their first match, this is the first time this team has played together. So you had to take all those things into account. And, you know, the conditions are obviously different in Dubai as well. We did see some, you know, few highlights here and there, some performances which we can expect. Anika Kolan up the order as well. You know, she's a very reliable batter. So we expect to see these kinds of things from these women. But I think the first game, we should be giving them a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a break on that end.
Oh, for sure. It's hot. It's probably longer form of the game than a lot of these women are accustomed to. We play so much T20 cricket in the States. ODI cricket's a massive mess. We don't even play. Do we play 50 over cricket anywhere in North Carolina, Nate? I think 40 overs is the most that we go to out on the East Coast, at least. I don't know about the West, but
40 is the most, and that's a universal thing, men's and women's, at least locally. Yeah. The big thing is it's a massive jump domestically to international cricket. And you're playing abroad. It's early April. Nobody's played in their local leagues, really, for a while. Probably the best you can hope for is traveling to the South here and there to play a weekend tournament or something like that. You know, so yeah, they deserve some slack for that, for, you know, failing there with the bat after the quick start. And you mentioned Anika Kolan. She kept today, according to the score sheet, which is interesting. What's that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, I just see the little cross next to her name. So, because I was looking to see if she would keep or not. We just assumed Sindhu would keep. So this score sheet might be incorrect. That wouldn't be unprecedented. But, you know, if she did keep, that's an interesting decision in the very first ODI to have her keep wicket. Now, along with her, there's Mithali Pathwardhan, who is local to here, who's a wicket keeper, who's actually performing very well in these events, in these pathway events. So we have a lot of talent at that position. So it's good to see if she did get the gloves today. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, the way Anika has been following in Sindhu's footsteps, it's really nice to see. And I think Anika as a batter, just over the years that I've seen her progress, you know, we had unofficial 50 over matches in 2021. And you can just see the difference on those globals to here, taking a bit more of responsibility, coming in at three. That's a very crucial role. And, you know, you mentioned Mithali. And from what I've seen about Mithali, you know, she's, I would say, a good technical 50-over player. Players like her or even Yasha Dittiteki, you know, who has a bit more experience, is more of a senior player. I was surprised why, you know, though they were considered for some of these games, 50-over games at least. Just, you know, to add in a little bit of seniority within the team. I know Gargi's also there, but that would have been a good touch as well. You know, keep a 50-over squad specific and a 20-over.
Like the men do, then the men should do even more, if you ask me, especially now with more and more people becoming available. But it's great to get more people in the umbrella, especially specialized players, like you said. You know, yeah, it's interesting to see. Obviously, with two good keepers in the team, you can understand why it might not have been picked. But I think we both agree with you that she would have been a great choice as a batter in this mix. Now, up and down, looking at all the names in here, I'm like, who do you take out? There's a lot of good names. That's always the trick. Yeah.
Which is a good
problem. I actually do want to ask you, Aditi Chidasma was, you know, came in at number 9, I think, in this game. It feels that's a bit low for Aditi. No, is that, I thought maybe number 4, number 5 would have been the way I would have saw her fit in. I know she plays a lot of T20 cricket as well. What do you make of her coming in at 9?
Yeah, is a very technical, solid bat. And I have seen her over the years, especially for a lot of the domestic tournaments, batting up the order, number 2, number 3. But, you know, just like Nate said, hard to fit in up there along the lanes, Sindhu and Anika, and Isani up there. I'm not surprised, but I think if, you know, Aditi does maybe prove herself a little bit, you know, Sindhu might just give her something up the order to go for it. That would be interesting.
I agree. I think if she can get some runs under her belt, I think she'd be a fascinating person to put up the order and see what she can do. I think her and Disha have the same kind of ability to go inside out over cover, which, you know, when I saw it at the Nationals, like, holy smokes, that, you know, that's a shot that kind of separates you from a lot of individuals. But moving on for the bat, they scored 160 and going with the ball, Ritu Singh, the off spinner, making, you know, didn't have a great day with the bat, but with the ball in hand, economy under 4, 2 wickets. I think Ritu just finds ways to impact games, it feels like, consistently.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ritu is one of those players, if she doesn't do well with the bat, you know, she's going to come with the ball. And that's pretty much what she did here. She is a very consistent bowler. I think a first change bowler with her spin, which is not too fast, not too slow. She does catch people off guard. I'm glad to see a spinner getting some success, you know, no bias, but yeah.
Yeah, we love it. Suhani Thadani went a little expensive, and because of that, only saw 3 overs. We've seen her be an impact player before, too. Do you think that she's suited well for this particular format? Obviously, she's performed really well with the T20.
Yeah, you know, Suhani has been an opening bowler for US for the T20s, at least. A little surprised that she got the older ball later on. But Suhani's also another person who's a fighter. She has a fire in her belly. She wants to go at the opposition. Maybe she was bummed she didn't get the new ball, but I expect her to bounce back after that. Yeah, new conditions, you know, we don't play in a lot of that too much, so not surprised.
And what about Geetika? Geetika got 5 overs in the game there. That's a surprise there. We see her with 3 wides, which is, you know, maybe a lot for a format where you got to keep a tidy economy. You can't really afford to give too many extras away. But yeah, look, the target wasn't too big. It's tough to look at and see who got the justice when we couldn't watch the game, who got justice with the overs. Sindhu had to make calls to try to get wickets. That was obviously the priority in this inning, so I'm sure matchups mattered an awful lot. We saw some really good scoring from Tanya Ruma from Papua New Guinea, 80 runs off of 93 balls. That's blistering in this format. That's tremendous batting. And then she looks like she got some good support around her as well. So it wasn't the biggest total. Chased down in 36.2 overs. Let's see how they bounce back. You know, it's got to be tough playing in this environment in early April. You know, you're going to somewhere where it's 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And, you know, if I'm Sindhu, if I'm the captain, this is me, not Sindhu. This is not a championship mentality right here. But if I'm Sindhu, I'm handing the gloves off to Anika every game because I don't want to be back there in this heat.
I don't blame you for that. One thing that I did notice was that Jessica got the ball a little late. And
yeah.
And from my, you know, conversation, it looked like Jessica bowled really well. If you see, she has 18 dot balls, you know, out of her 32 that she bowled. So maybe bringing her on later was maybe a little bit of a miss right there. You know, if she is somebody who has a lot of control bowling on one side of the wicket. So if you are bowling, you know, if the target is as a 160, you want to try to get your best bowlers the maximum amount of overs. I'm hoping Jess gets, you know, a little bit more overs and maybe the ball a little bit earlier next time.
Yeah, I agree with you. From the left also, don't have too many people from the left bringing it back in. So that different angle would have been, I think, really cool to see with the new ball overseas.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess we probably talked a long time combining the two different men's and women's. But we want to have you on again sometime to discuss this a little bit more as the series goes on. If you're open to it, it would be very cool. Oh, also another thing I want to talk about, the new facility down in Orlando. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen videos of it. It's on a campground, which is really neat because you can just stay right there and then walk to the ground. Yeah, how cool is this?
Yeah, that was a really cool facility to play at and stay at. And the way that it's set up is like houses and all the players stay in one. And then there's a kitchen, which you can just walk over to, have breakfast there. And then you pick up your bags and walk to the ground. And they have golf carts. So all of us were riding around there. I love that facility. The outfield was nice. I think the pitch still needs a little bit of work. I think we were one of the first teams to play on there. But over day two, day three, you know, it was really playing well. I was very happy that we have a facility like that in the U.S. now. You know, the more turf wickets we get, the happier every cricketer is. Yeah, really nice to see that. Hope I get to play a little bit more.
Yeah, and that wicket should settle down nicely over the next couple of years. I know they're going to use it for minor league cricket as well for the Orlando team, Orlando Galaxy. So I'm just, like you said, it's been great over the last 3 years to see a lot of these pop up around the USA, and also the hybrids popping up, but easier to maintain, a little less expensive. But it's nice to see these things happening. And one of the things we have to follow and we have to check on, because we're so early in this, is how that wicket looks next year and how it looks the year after. And as long as, Amin, you know this, it's very easy to take a huge step back after a huge step forward. It's very easy. Here at Church Street Park, we've seen it a couple of times. And so we just want to encourage anybody who's doing this to just, you know, stay with it and look at the long view. And anybody who's judging these games that happen on new wickets, you know, don't scoff at a 90-run innings, because it, you know, maybe 4 years in, 3 years in, scoff at 90-run innings. But we need to be patient, and this is what it looks like to build infrastructure in the USA.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope, you know, like that wicket, more people get to play on it and experience that entire. And it was, this environment's really cool, like a little camp, team camp. You get to play your favorite sport. Yeah, I can't wait to go back.
It was great to have you on, and I can't wait to see what the women continue to do. Again, Bone, we have no stream of it, but we'll continue to follow scorecards, and, you know, hopefully we get a win. Would be, I know it's a little ambitious, but if we find a win somewhere in here, I think that'd be pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I think with you know, this team, and we don't know what they can do, the potential, when I would think it's definitely on the cards. Fingers crossed they can get that for us.
Let's hope for it. We got T20 coming up after this. So somewhere in the mix here, let's get a win, or just, you know, the experience that they're getting is priceless right now. They've got a good young group there that they're going to build on. Let's hope, you know, everything goes according to plan. And hopefully there's enough women's cricket around the calendar to justify a women's cricket podcast on Emerging Cricket, just like the Beginnings podcast. But that would be great, I think, to have that much cricket where it's something that has to be talked about on its own show all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you guys providing this platform over here, it's much appreciated. I think the women's team doesn't get talked about a lot, but, you know, anytime we want to talk about the women, you know, we need to have a platform like this. So really appreciate you guys doing this. And hopefully in the future, we can have something like that. That'd be really cool to listen to.
Absolutely. I think our listeners would love it.